You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, September 18th, 2016, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now? My master is taking the position away from me. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This is a sermon about money. Now, I'm a good enough mind reader to know that a fair number of you just said to yourselves, "Oh no, is he going to ask us for some?" A perfectly natural reaction, and one that actually begins to give us a clue about what I really want to talk about. And that's our relationship to money and how that affects some far more important relationships, namely our relationship to God and our relationship to other people. You know, for many of us, the way we relate to money creates a real barrier to healthy, loving, life-giving relationships. And our relationship to money can act as a real barrier between us and a free-flowing, heartfelt connection to the divine source of all our life. Okay, so with that as a kind of a thesis statement, let's take a look at this very strange parable we hear this morning from Jesus. It's really clear and straightforward, isn't it? Not. One scholar calls this parable of the dishonest manager one of the great exegetical mountains of Scripture. Throwing up his hands in defeat, this scholar goes on to say, "This bewildering parable and the positive use Jesus makes of its shifty protagonist may never be satisfactorily solved until faith is in sight. In the meantime, perhaps the best we can hope is that our joining the quest for a solution, The grappling of God's people with even the difficult parts of God's book produces a weary but earnest friendship among the children of light in this generation. Now there is a man who is waving the white flag of surrender. And he's not alone. Scholars have been scratching their heads over this one for a very long time, like about 2,000 years. So we too can scratch our heads over the multiple threads of this parable, but let's do it in our Bible study of Luke's gospel that happens at the adult forum and on Tuesday mornings. We'll get to this parable probably around Advent, so stay tuned. For this morning, though, in a 10-minute sermon, let's take a look at this parable from about 10,000 feet and see if we can tease out at least part of its meaning. Among the great themes of Luke's gospel is how the incoming kingdom of God will reverse the status of the rich and the poor. In fact, Luke refers to the poor and to the rich more often than in any other gospel. When the angel Gabriel gives Mary the startling news that she'll bear a child who will be the Savior, she says in wonder, "The Lord has looked with favor on his lowly servant, brought down the powerful from their thrones, and lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty." In his opening address to a crowd at the synagogue at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus tells them that he has come to bring good news to the poor. In another parable, a rich fool thought he was fixed for life because of all the stuff he owned. But that very night, the Lord demanded his life from him. "Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions," Jesus warned. And there are many more examples of this throughout the gospel. Jesus talks throughout Luke about a different way of using our wealth. Our wealth belongs to God, and we are to use our wealth for God's purposes and not simply for our own convenience. If we're to be followers of the Jesus we meet in Luke's gospel, we're challenged to deal seriously with God's call on our resources in the context of our lifestyles and in the context of caring communities like this one, like St. Thomas. We're living in this materialistic culture that glamorizes wealth and that's seen an ever-widening gap between the rich and the poor. We can't spiritualize the call that God places on our wealth. We've got to step up to the challenge that Jesus presents us. Now let's get a little closer to the parable. It's important to note that this parable is placed right between the parable of the prodigal son and the parable of the rich man and Lazarus that we'll read next Sunday. Like the prodigal, our dishonest manager has squandered what was entrusted to him. That's the word that both parables use. They've squandered their wealth. And like the story that follows, our parable begins with the phrase, "There was a rich man." Each of these three parables in their own way are about the relationship of persons to money and how money can be used to either create or destroy relationships with other people. Consistent with Luke's theme of how the kingdom of God reverses the existing order of things, the dishonest manager's shrewd behavior, and the word that gets translated shrewd in this parable could also be translated as prudent, the dishonest manager's prudent behavior creates a relationship of hospitality for himself that he's going to need as he fears his master is going to turn him out. Remember, he said he's too old to dig and too proud to beg. And then to our surprise, his master actually commends his behavior. Why? Well, one thought is that instead of using his dishonestly gained wealth to exploit other people, he's used it to make friends for himself. And Jesus is certainly commending that to his disciples. He's saying, don't use your wealth to exploit other people. Use it to build relationships with other people. Releasing others from their debts to us, he seems to be saying, encourages mutuality and reciprocity. And then there's the suggestion as to how we deal with the very little with which we've been entrusted. If you haven't used whatever wealth you have, even if it was acquired dishonestly, in a faithful way, How will you be entrusted with the riches of the kingdom? And then finally, the money quote. No slave can serve two masters. You can't serve God and wealth. In other words, our values, our relationships, our relationship to our money needs to align with the values of God's kingdom. And what are those kingdom values? Well, Luke's gospel spells them out pretty clearly over and over. Support for the poor, providing hospitality to everyone, including the ones on the margins of society, caring for the sick, building relationships based on mutuality and respect, and praising God in all things. Those are the kingdom values that we disciples are to use our wealth to support. When the disciples' values are aligned with kingdom values, which means the disciple trusts God for security instead of looking for security in wealth, the old paradigm gets turned upside down. New friendships form. Outsiders and the ones lower down the social and economic ladder become the ones we depend on to welcome us. And welcome us not only into their homes in this life, but even into the eternal home. So I hope this parable will lead us to some reflection this week about our own relationship to our money. Jesus, you know, never condemns wealth. Money, after all, is just a commodity like any other commodity. It's when our relationship to our money becomes a barrier between us and fully embracing and loving and caring for each other. When we place our faith and trust in our stuff instead of in a loving God who is, after all, the source of our own lives, that's when Jesus begins to get concerned. Right after the great poet and songwriter Bob Dylan became a Christian, he wrote a song called, You Gotta Serve Somebody. Now that song makes the parable's point. We all serve somebody. The question is, who will we serve? Will we serve our stuff, or will we serve God? And putting it that way, where do you think real freedom lies? Where do you think real and true and lasting peace lies? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? So now's the time to get serious about aligning the values we place on our money with the values of the kingdom. Can we direct more of our resources towards care and compassion for others? What does extending hospitality to those who aren't like us look like in our lives? Another of Jesus' great themes that we hear over and over again in Luke's gospel is the theme of losing and finding. The prodigal son had to lose everything before he could find what was of eternal value, namely his father's love. And the dishonest manager had to lose everything before he could find the hospitality and friendship of his master's debtors. So what will you need to lose this week to find true peace? What will it take for you to let go of your attachments to money and to set it free to serve the kingdom? In other words, who will you serve this week? Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.